Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse, a new podcast, and we're excited to launch it here with you today. And it connects our listeners with some of the best baseball minds in the game today. On behalf of the American Baseball Coaches Association, we'd like to sincerely thank you for listening in, and we are more than certain you're going to enjoy this great interview. My name is Jeremy Schiedinger, and with this first podcast, we wanted to spend time discussing arm health, arm training, development, especially from a pitching perspective. So to do that, you've got to round up the best teaching professionals that you can and get them on the interview. We've done that. In the first half of our interview, we're going to spend time with Alan Jaeger, the founder of Jaeger Sports and the quote-unquote godfather of the long toss program. Alan's going to discuss his revamped version of the year-round throwing manual. He's going to go into his J-band routine, the long toss program in more depth. But he's also going to talk on some very pertinent topics, such as for our high school prospects of navigating the summer, the showcase circuit, and preparing those guys to be healthy as they move into college baseball. The second half of this interview could not be more close to audio gold, as we get three of the best college baseball pitching coaches in the country together on the same call, along with Alan. We've got Nate Yeske. Nate's the assistant coach at Oregon State University. We've coupled that with Scott Brown, the associate head coach at Vanderbilt University. And to round it off, we've got the head coach in his first year at Auburn University, Butch Thompson. These are great men, but more importantly, loyal ABCA members. And we're sincerely thankful we were able to sit down with them and get them on record on these topics. Thanks for listening in. We hope you enjoy the interview, and we appreciate what you're doing for the game of baseball. Thank you.
All right, so Alan, let's get right into it, my man. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Jeremy. It's so cool to be on with you, and I really appreciate this. It's an honor, buddy.
Well, we appreciate you being on with us. I mean, you're a loyal ABCA guy. Can you give us kind of a real quick tutorial of your experience with ABCA and how important it is to you as a coach?
Yeah, well, it's ironic, because I know last week you ran a bunch of small videos or a bunch of videos with Coach John Scalinas, and I think my first memory of an ABCA show, I'd have to look it up, but I believe it was Anaheim, and I just remember I walked into this room, and I didn't really know what it was at first. I mean, this might have been 20 years ago, and John Scalinas was a person I just remember being on the stage speaking, and sure. So ironically, you know, that's how far back I go at the ABCA, but, you know, probably 7 or 8 of the last 11 years or so. I mean, I've traveled around the country. I've been to Dallas, Chicago, Nashville, I think twice now, San Diego, Anaheim. It's just a special, special place. As you know, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's a special place to be. And, you know, I think the idea of what's going on with as far as the trend now toward, you know, you guys really getting more and more active with schools throughout the year and what have you. It's just a cool thing, man. You guys do a great job, and I know you guys are all about education is the bottom line, and that's why we're doing this, so it's very cool.
Well, we appreciate you being on, man. This is first episode, and we're excited to have a guy like you on. And Alan, you know, the biggest piece for us is really having our listeners understand, man, your background in baseball is really extensive. We're talking 25 plus years of really dedicating your life and your career to the game, and I think it'd be great, man, if you could give us just a run through of your experience in baseball. And
okay, yeah, I'll be brief, man, so we can get to it. No, I'm from Los Angeles. I went to Granada Hills High School and then Pierce Junior College and then Cal State Northridge. And I was actually a third baseman in high school, and then I became a pitcher in college. And once my career finished, one of the reasons why I got so heavy into the mental game is when I was a junior at Cal State Northridge, I went through a very challenging time, if you will. And it just got me so intrigued and as far as like, well, what am I going through? What's going on? Because it really affected me. And, I had to actually, you know, walk away from the team at one point. So, it was such a powerful moment in my life that it got me so kind of determined to find out like what went wrong, what happened here. And that led me to psychology, and psychology eventually led me to, Eastern philosophy and Zen and meditation and yoga. And so, you know, I took that experience. I wrote a book in the 90s. And then I became a pitching coach for 3 years at a junior college, LA Mission Junior College. And that was wonderful because I had a chance to, as you know, get into the grind of just being with a group of guys, you know, for an entire year for 3 years. And sure. At some point, I just kind of branched out onto my own, and I started my own kind of training program, you know, if you will, training business, if you will. And I don't like the word business, but, you know where I'm going.
Right.
And I started working with players privately. I did camps in summer, and then I started, which really is kind of leading us back to the year-round throwing manual. I started doing these camps for professionals that was like 2 months long from January to February, or, you know, really leading up to spring training. And the beauty of that was is that I got to bring in the meditation and the yoga, but then also the throwing program, which I started to really just do intuitively as a pitching coach at LA Mission College. It's something I did personally my whole life, so it wasn't like I thought I was teaching something that unique. I just thought everybody long toss,
sure.
That's what I did, and I loved the long toss, and that's how I bring in my partner into this. That's how I found my partner, who was our team captain outfielder, who had an absolute cannon, because we just gravitated toward each other because we loved the long toss. So basically the pro camp was the grounds for me where I really had a chance to be with guys for 8 weeks, and I had a chance to really cycle them, so to speak, and build them up and start to integrate mound work and really send them off to spring training in what I consider to be just phenomenal shape. And I did that for 15 years. So I feel like that's where a lot of my background came from, how to build an arm the right way, how to cycle it, how to maintenance it. And then I guess the last piece would be that, you know, aside from that, I started just getting into consulting, and I've worked with, you know, just a lot of different schools, and that experience has been helpful for me because not only does it feel good to consult and teach, but when you're around some of the people that you consider to be so good at what they do and so impressive, and they're giving you the feedback of how, you know, the positive feedback of how things are happening, that's very inspiring and motivating, and that's really what, you know, I can hang my hat on, is that it's not just the experience that myself and my partner and now our other huge help, which is, you know, China McCarney. It's like, you know, my partner, by the way, is Jim Vatcher. I think you know that, but it's like the feedback I've gotten from the coaching world and people I respect so much it's almost overwhelming. But that's what you love about this game, and that's, I know that's a big piece of ABCA, and so that's that kind of brings you back to, you know, up to the moment of you know, at least my path in 26 minutes or less.
Well, we appreciate that. I think it's always good to have a foundation to kind of really see where you're coming from, and that, like you said, leads us right to the current moment. And for all listeners out there, know that Alan has put out his year-round throwing manual in the past, but now we've revamped it, we've relaunched it, and it's in such a great format. I'm going to let him talk about it. But also, Alan, talk about the changes, but more importantly, the purpose behind it. What was your mission in putting this together to really help young players out there? Go into that a little bit.
Well, I appreciate that because it's the bottom line. I mean, you know, the why behind it. And I think that from that pro camp, spending 2 months with guys, you know, I had them every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and even on some Sundays where we started doing some inner squatting. And I guess I just felt like, you know, in 25 years of doing this, the one thing that I can say is that, you know, I've gotten a lot of questions over the years about when to long toss, how much should I long toss, how far should I go, you know, what is the in season like, you know, if I'm a starter, if I'm a reliever, if I'm, you know, how much rest should I take now with the summer that I know we're going to get into with, you know, travel ball and showcases. You know, there's a bunch of new questions there. And then how much, you know, so I guess all these questions, you know, I've gotten so many questions over the years about, hey, I'm in Maine, you know, what do I do in December? I need a long toss, but I can't get outside for 3 more months. So all these questions I've been just getting hammered by over the years, which is beautiful. It's forced me into, you know, and I've spent hours and hours and hours answering these questions, and I really enjoy that. But I just at some point I thought, you know, and I have written an article in off season, and I have written an article in season, and I just decided, let's just tie it all together, build in the rest periods, talk about the summer, which is sort of a new world of these last 5 to 8 years or so. And so I think that was the impetus, really, to is the bottom line, is to just put something in a format for the entire year. There's, you know, people that know me know I'm all about options and flexibility, but the bottom line is that you got to build it up really well. Once you build it up really well, because that's the foundation of your house. Once you build it up really well,
sure.
How do you maintenance it really well? When do you take your breaks? How do you navigate the summer, which can be maybe the trickiest part of the entire year? And so I guess that's sort of to answer your question. The bottom line is that it just was 25 years of just processing and just getting to a point where I felt like, hey, I want to be able to, if someone asks me a question, this is kind of how I wrote the manual. I wanted to answer every question that someone can ask. And I realize it's probably impossible to get every question, but that was my goal, is if there was a question someone could ask me, I can not only tell them that it's in the manual, but it will have, you know, points of references as to the depth behind the answer, you know, as opposed to just, well, here's the answer to that. I want them to also know why the answer, you know, where it came from, you know, and sort of like what would support it from, you know, the deeper part of why I'm answering the question that way.
Sure. No,
sorry to cut you off, but the second part to that before I forget is that the reason we're relaunching this is that the original manual, which came out, I can't remember, but maybe like September, October last year, it just was in a smaller book form. The font was too small. I just felt like I really wanted to do this thing right, and I really was inspired by Kyle Bode's, hacking the kinetic chain, because it was bigger, it was spiral bound. And what we did is we actually put in sections to where there's little tabs that stick out for like the off season. There's a tab for the in season, there's a tab for the summer, and so on. And so I think part of it is, I believe if I'm not mistaken, there's sections now where you can put some notes in there. So there's some few added things to it, but you know, essentially the content hasn't really changed. But I think the format of it now is just 1,000 times better than the way it was.
Sure. Well, I'm glad we've introduced the manual, and I'll tell any coach that's listening, you need to do yourself a favor and look into getting this, not only for your development as a coach, but for your players and their health and their development as well. And I've seen it in person. I've seen the electronic version. I've seen the physical. It's going to be great. Now, we appreciate you, again, making it maybe more consumer-friendly is a way to put it, and it's going to be sharp. And obviously, now we're going to get into those topics, though, because your book the manual just absolutely lays out the plan for our coaches and our players, but sometimes it's best to hear it from the source itself. And you're going to blush, and I'm going to say it. You're the godfather of long toss, man. You're the guy that's out there in the baseball community that is so passionate about long toss. And when we think about, obviously, your program and it's centering around the band work and around long toss, we need background. Give us a background on how important those roles are, and maybe just a kind of a quick rundown of how it works.
Well, I guess in a nutshell, whenever I get asked questions about taking care of the arm, there's tons of modalities out there that I think are great. But I always tell people the same thing. At the end of the day, for us, obviously it's what we teach. So maybe we're a little biased, but I'd actually say as objectively as possible that bands to me, are just so important for the prehab part of throwing. You know, we, of course, they use bands for rehab, but we're just so big into prehab. And so we just want to get especially the shoulder girdle so heated up, and we want the range of motion. We want the small muscle balance and all that good stuff. But the idea is that, you don't want to just get out there and throw right away. You want to get the arm prepared and warmed up. And because of what you do before you throw, not only is the experience, so to speak, of throwing going to be dramatically improved, but also the recovery period because of all the arm care stuff. And so recovery period is, as we talk about this maybe later, recovery period becomes one of the most important elements to keeping your arm healthy. So the band work is not just to get you warm and prepared to throw, but it's to optimize your throwing and really help with your recovery period. So bands is number one, and long toss is number two. And again, I would never make someone long toss. But at the end of the day, I would try to inform them as best I can from 25 years of experience, and experience, again, of some of the best minds in baseball I know out there, of the incredible, consistent, success, if you will, or progress from doing it. But long toss, you know, the easiest way to explain long toss is that, number one, our program is always centered around listening to your arm. So there's a way that you always throw by letting your arm dictate how far you're going to go that day. And even though we're big in the long toss, it might take you 2 or 3 weeks to get out to your furthest point. But the idea is that, A, you stretch your arm out on the way out. So we call the first stage the stretching out phase. So as you walk away from your throwing partner, you're throwing the ball with arc, because we want the arm to stay as loose and relaxed for, you know, the entire, you know, stretching out phase. And then once you get to your furthest throw, and this might be 3 weeks down the road, the second phase of long toss is what we call the pull down phase. And basically, and you may not pull down every single day, but on a day that you feel like you need to get your pull downs and your aggressive throwing in, essentially what you'll do is you'll come in about 10 feet of throw on the way back in. And then the key is to maintain the same intent or effort of your furthest throw. So if you go to 300 feet and we call 300 feet X, the key is to maintain X as you get closer to your partner and to not decelerate any of that 300 feet. And so the cool thing is that instinctively you just know to aim lower and lower and lower. And we just make sure players know if you're going to miss in front of your partner's feet rather over the head, because we want them to practice accelerating rather than decelerating. And so in a nutshell, it's the stretching out phase with arc and keeping the arm loose and relaxed. And the second phase is the pull down phase. And even in the pull down phase, we still want them thinking to be loose and relaxed, because even though we're going to get explosive and really athletic, the idea is to, it's an art form to learn how to stay loose and relaxed. Because anybody that's been on a mound or anybody that's made a throw from the infield or outfield or catchers know that your best throws is when you're just free and easy, and then there's explosion, sort of like a golfer, you know, making the correct swing. And so anyway, in a nutshell, that's sort of the long toss and the band phase of it. And those are the two, you know, crucial elements to our program.
Sure. I think this is a pretty good follow-up, because if you're a coach listening out there and maybe you're not as familiar with Jaeger Sports and your program, Alan, give them kind of what's the most important thing they need to know. If they're trying to develop and maintain a healthy arm, and if they're really passionate about keeping their kids where they need to be and a platform to really grow as a player and also maintain health, give them kind of the most important thing to know moving forward.
Well, rule number one is you have to build the foundation the right way. But the most important thing, probably with anything you do in life, you know, obviously the house is the best analogy. You got to get your frame in, and then your structure. You know, you got to get the engine to the car. You've got to get your base in place. Because if you get your base in place, and we even have a term in the manual called, I call it stacking the base. Not only do I want a great base, but it's almost like overkill. I want the great base to be stacked and stacked and stacked. Because once you build your base, it is amazing how you can build onto that and how that leads to endurance. How endurance leads to good recovery period. And again, we keep coming back to the same themes of what's the most important thing. Build your base for endurance reasons. But once you build your base, then of course the maintenance part, it just fits like a glove. I mean, it's easy to integrate mound work. It's easy to integrate aggressive throwing for position players, but you've got to build your base. And in our manual, which is sort of based on, I believe, I should know this, but I think it's based on a senior in high school or a freshman in college average arm strength. I think it's a freshman in college average arm strength. The idea is that it's going to probably take you at least 3 weeks to be conservative to get your arm just through the stretching out, conditioning, and base building phase, even before we do much aggressive throwing. Now, it might take 5 weeks total to get your arm to where you've really built the base and stacked it well. But the point is this. You just don't have to worry about aggressive throwing for 3 weeks. You just want to build the base the right way. And so I keep coming back to this word base. If you build your base the right way, it's the single most important thing for a coach or parent or player to know, is you have to build your base, especially for pitchers away from the mound. You have to plan on spending, I'm going to say to be conservative, 5 to 6 weeks of just building your arm to shape through long toss, through stretching it out, and eventually through the pull downs, which may come in week 4 or week 5. But that's it, man. And obviously the bands are a huge part of this, building your base through arm conditioning, band work, and so on. And then the last piece, I guess, would be the listening to the arm, because how you build your base and how you get into shape, if you get intimate with your body and intimate with your arm, you'll learn that it will dictate how far to go each day. It will dictate how many throws to make. It'll dictate how many minutes. And you don't really need a throwing program. You don't need someone to say to you this many minutes or this many throws. In fact, I think that could get in the way. It's all about listening to your arm and giving your arm a chance to breathe and dictate the pace, because it will get into amazing shape if you follow it.
I was waiting, because that's about 20 minutes in, we got our first breathe reference, and we appreciate that. Now, I think the word I wrote down, Al, the word I wrote down was freedom. As you were talking, yes. And if I'm a coach, I think and again, I know we're going to be touching on the rehab programs, and I think most coaches are familiar with those, as we've all come up. We've been subject to them at some point, but I wrote down freedom, because that, to me, as a coach, as a guy who's obviously, when I was on the coaching ranks, followed your plan and completely believed in where you were and where you were trying to go. And talk about that a little bit. Expand on that, because I think the freedom part of it is something that maybe is unique or different for a coach that's listening that really isn't familiar with Jaeger Sports.
Well, I love the question, Jeremy, and one of the main reasons why is because some programs, whether it's professional baseball or college or high school or, you know, even travel ball if they're in a rush, you know, they may say, hey, guys, you got 10 minutes to go get loose, or whatever the number is. And for me, there's never a number, ever, because some guys might only need 10 minutes on a given day, which for me, that concept doesn't really exist too much, because our guys get into the kind. And maybe if you're a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, I can get it to some degree. But even 6- and 7-year-olds, sure, want them at 70 feet for a while. But the bottom line is this. One of my most important principles that I talk about when I talk about, and this just goes for everybody that teaches this from RSI, my partner, China, that the thing about this is that there is not a time constraint. There's not a distance constraint. If you listen to your arm and quote unquote, give it the freedom, find its path and be instinctive and be intuitive. What'll happen is that on any given day, you have no idea how many minutes. I've had pitchers. I know I've experienced this myself as a pitcher, you know, where I've thrown a ton of pitches. And the next day I thought, you know, I probably won't want to throw much, or I threw a lot. Maybe it's more accurate to say I threw a ton in a clinic. And I thought the next day, man, you know, I wouldn't want to throw much. And it's just shocking if you take care of your arm really well. Even the day after a start of 100-plus pitches, you know, you might find yourself maybe not going out real far, but your arm wants to throw some volume because it just needs it. And the word freedom is one of the most important words when it comes to practice plans and coaches kind of setting up to what a guy's going to do each day with throwing. The key is that I'd say always have at least 20 minutes, and that doesn't include band work and arm care. Have 20 minutes as a minimum to say, guys, that's the throwing station. You got at least 20 minutes. Get in when you need to. Even if you only go out to 150 feet because you want to go light today, maybe at 60 feet you want to throw 50 changeups, or you want to, you know, just get some volume in. And so I'm really glad you asked this question, because it's really one of the most important questions, especially for coaches. And you have to get the horse out of the barn. You got to give the arm a chance to do what it needs to do. If it needs less time that day, so be it. The bottom line is give the arm a chance to expand and grow and build conditioning and build endurance. And don't put false parameters and false limitations and boundaries in the way to put the arm in a position where you may stunt it just because you said, hey, you get 10 minutes a day. We work with players that, you know, not that maybe they're going to take their time, but they need 20, 25 minutes some days. They just want to let the arm breathe and open up and stretch out. And when they come back in, they still don't want to be in a rush to go anywhere. And I'm sensitive. I know coaches have practice plans. And, sure. And I know a lot of pitching coaches, what they'll do is maybe they'll start their practice an hour before everybody else. But I've always pushed pitching coaches to just say, hey, look, maybe I don't know what the number is, but if I'm a coach, I'm going to tell the head coach, look, I need an hour before you need us. If you need us for whatever you need us for, between arm care stuff, between stretching, whatever it is, you know, I want an hour, you know, whatever the number is. And so at the end of the day, just stay away from putting limitations and constraints on throwing. But the best thing you can do is give the arm a chance to breathe, get the horse out of the barn, let it run, let's see where it wants to go today.
Love it. Well, and obviously furthering, because I think some coaches, as you get into end season, that might be the toughest part, you know, and I know that's the part that I always struggle with as a coach, and I know a lot of coaches, just really what is the maintenance plan in season, and you talk about that, which I think would be a great opportunity to expand on. We talk about the 5- and 7-day cycles. there's obviously not everybody's a starter. And now you've got to really handle that relief pitcher a different way. And I want you to kind of expand on those thoughts a little bit.
Yeah, well, the cool thing is this. If you build your foundation right, you have the luxury to really allow the players to dictate the in-season. And I'm going to tell you right now it's going to happen. I have a lot of evidence through a lot of coaches that coach in college and have a chance to experience this, or in high school, wherever. You know, they have a chance to experience this from September to January and January to June. And the cool thing is that if you build it really well, you'll have players, position players or pitchers, doesn't matter. They're going to desperately, I hate to use the word desperate, they're going to be just so motivated because the body is going to want to throw more because it's what it's used to. So a lot of coaches will really, especially relief pitchers, they won't maybe have them throw as much long toss, or especially the day of a game. And in college, you have a luxury because you're really playing three or four, well, probably four games a week. There's still sure. plenty of days to make sure that you get your pitchers, you know, you allow them to stay in shape well by still continuing the long toss. And so the in-season piece for me is that starters are simple because we have a seven-day cycle built in there, and we have a five-day cycle for more of the professional world. But the seven-day cycle, and again, there's tons of options built in there, but it kind of gives you a simple way to make sure you get your long toss in, so you're conditioning well and you're recovering well so that you can just roll through the season. It's the relief pitchers, I think, that becomes a little trickier. And without going into gory detail, the bottom line is that relief pitchers need to be stretching their arm out as often as possible. Instead of thinking about saving their arm for the game, they need to know that, okay, maybe I can't pull down real heavy today because I may go in the game today, but I need to get my arm opened up to what it's used to. And if it's used to getting out to 300 feet, I got to kind of open it up to 300 feet or so. And maybe I won't pull down again and get super aggressive because I don't want my arm to experience the aggressive phase and then just go into shutdown mode. But I have one of my favorite things I've come up with for relief pitchers is what I call opening the door and without closing it. And so and hand in hand with that for relief pitchers is incubating the arm. So just to hit on that very briefly is that relief pitchers through the season to really optimally maintain their arm, they need to open the door basically every day, unless maybe they threw 40 pitches the night before, they went maybe 20 pitches on Friday or 30 pitches on Friday, maybe they went 15 on Sunday. So maybe on Monday it'll be a little different, but the idea is that you open the door and you sort of stretch it out close to your capacity of a normal long toss, unless something unusual happened in the day or two or three before that. And the key is you just don't pull down. And what that does is it frees the arm up to its needs. It gets the range of motion in there. It's hot, so to speak. And by not pulling down, you can keep it hot by doing some light band work and some light, you know, catch play. Believe it or not, for the next 3 or 4 hours, if you have a game at 7 p.m. and you long tossed at 5 p.m., you can actually keep your arm hot and incubated, so to speak, until 9:30 when you may go in for the eighth or ninth inning, just by doing some light band work and playing some light catch. So that's sort of a huge piece for the relievers. And again, the manual will go into more detail. But I guess to summarize your question, for starters, they'll have pretty much their start day, usually day three and day four will be long toss days, and then their start day again. So they'll get 3 to 4 good long toss days in during the season to really maintenance their arm well. Relief pitchers just have to know that they need to stretch their arms out. And if they go 3 or 4 days without getting in a game, they need to know that they have to go out to their furthest throw and they have to get some pull down days in. And obviously it'd be better to do it on a non-game day. But just touching on the pitchers and the starting pitchers and relief pitchers, that gives you a good overview. And position players, if you're killing it all fall and you're really become a long toss animal and you're a throwing animal, you pretty much need to stretch it out every day and pull down for the most part every day, because that's just what your arm needs. And you don't have recovery period issues of being on the mound and throwing breaking balls that pitchers do. So your arm is probably going to be hungry every day. So we haven't got a feed it reference yet, but your arm is going to probably be hungry. It's going to actually demand. I mean, listen to this word. If you're in great shape, your arm is going to almost demand instinctively to stretch out about as far as you can and pull down, you know. That's the only thing I can understand through a long season. you're going to pretty much stretch it out every day as a position player. Maybe some days your pull-downs aren't quite as aggressive, but I can tell you my partner who played, I think, 13 or 14 years professionally as an outfielder, he went, I think he basically went as far as he could and pulled down aggressively every single day because, A, his arm loved it, and, B, he wanted to know in the first inning if there's a runner on second, he's got to throw somebody out the plate. He's prepared.
Right. Direct application.
Yeah, so I can tell you, this is for a fact, I'm almost 100% positive that I know he long tossed basically. He'll tell you he long tossed every day, but I'm almost positive that he pulled down. And I know because he was my long toss partner in college. I was a pitcher and he was an outfielder, and we both felt the need to pull down because that's just what our arm was conditioned to do. But I always say pitchers, listen to your arm, and maybe every day is not going to be a pull down day, of course. But position players, you don't have recovery period to be concerned about from pitching on a mound. And if your arm is feeling great, it wants to throw, is the bottom line.
I'm going to put this on a tee for you. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So as you're talking through this, and of course, you know, I'm right in line with you, but I'm thinking about the coach that's out there that maybe this is new. Maybe this is the first time he's heard, Alan, he's heard you really go into great detail on your program and on the specifics around. And if I'm in those shoes, you come back to that you are referencing the arm as being a living, breathing organism. You know, it's its own entity with its own brain, and the whole key as a player, and we have to give, again, our coaches have to give our players the freedom to find this, is we've got to find the pulse. We've got to find the pulse and the heartbeat of their arm. Now, I just laid it on a tee for you, man. Go on that as much as you want.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, everybody's different. I understand that, you know, we have to be sensitive to the individual, which is another huge piece we'll get into later, I'm sure. But the bottom line is this. I just feel like if you talk to, I think, anybody, just about any walk of life that's in the quote-unquote training field, our bodies are amazing. They can do amazing things if they're pushed. And obviously you have to, you know, systematically build a new threshold and build a new threshold because you don't want to shock your body or shock your arm. But my experience has been, and again, the players we've trained over these 25 years and the schools that we know have really gotten after this kind of a mentality, the feedback has been very consistent, and the arm will just shock you at how much it can do. And again, you got to do it systematically. You got to build it slowly. But, you know, I use that idea of it being a living, breathing organism because living, breathing organisms, if you feed it and feed it and feed it, they grow and evolve and expand, and they get to areas that maybe we didn't even think is possible. I mean, I'm sure you've coached a player who you've given them a couple ideas and some insight, and before you know it, they're on a whole other plane that maybe you never thought they were capable of. And we've had that experience, you know, countless times with players who, yeah, he has a good arm, but to think he's going to throw 93 one day or 95 or whatever. It could be a kid that you never thought was going to break 70. You know, I've had coaches tell me, you know, that players have gotten on this program where they're great kids and they know how to pitch, but maybe they didn't break 73 in high school, and all of a sudden they're throwing 82 into somebody that doesn't seem like really, really fast, but that kid has a chance to experience a whole different level now of success at high school. Maybe gets a college scholarship because of it. And so I just think that maybe to summarize a great question, a bit, just to be straightforward, is it's a plant. This arm, you know, I use a redwood tree in an article I used a long time ago. I just think redwood trees are known to go up to 360 feet or so. And I just think of the idea of get it out of a greenhouse. Get it out of the
sure.
Don't put it somewhere where there's a ceiling. And maybe you won't throw 95 one day. But let's make sure we get it healthy and durable, and let's give it a chance to find out how much it can grow. And I think the idea of growing and evolution and feeding, all those words go together. And I think that's why I love the idea of looking at your arm as a living, breathing organism that is. And here's a key thing. I just tweeted this last night. It's ready and willing to go to work for us if we give
sure.
it the time and energy and the investment.
Well, here's a real important question, and if I'm any coach that's out there that's really, really looking to kind of be mindful of some things, one thing you need to be mindful of, if you haven't recognized, and I know you have, is the real epidemic of showcases and travel ball and how those things have really almost taken on its own being and its own life, but you almost, as a player, you have to be there. That's where the coaches are. I have to be seen. I have to be recruited. And what's great about your manual, Alan, is you make reference to what you call navigating the summer, which could not be a more profound way of looking at it, because I don't know if players really have a navigational tool. I don't think they have a game plan on how they're going to go from games on the weekend, Thursday through Sunday. They've got a showcase on Tuesday, Wednesday. They're throwing bullpens, all those different things. So talk to us about how you help those guys balance showcases, travel ball, the workload from their high school season, and really navigate the summer.
Well, I love it, Jeremy, because as you know, I think that's one of the most important things that I discovered over the last 5 years or so that I knew needed to be in the manual. And I've had to learn. I had a player that I was really consulting with for a little over a year that his advisor wanted me to really stay with him throughout the year and come up with a plan. And the off season and the in season stuff for me is just old school, just matter of fact for me. But I had to learn from him, and because he had this showcase coming up, and this was a kid that was invited to all these, you know, showcases and everything else, and
right.
So I had to help him navigate the summer. I had to help him when the summer was done, figure out the fall. You know, of course, a lot of it was just based on how I'd take care of an arm anyway. But the point that you're making is so important, because I had to go to school on this as well, and now, of course, it's just become so clear to me that this summer is a very, very tricky time, and I don't think very many players or coaches or parents or maybe even advisors really understand the depth of the vulnerability of these kids. I think the showcases themselves, I mean, they're just doing their thing to help showcase the kids, and not, and obviously the whole, you know, doing what they need to do to help give the kids exposure. I think it's really more about the players and the advisors and the parents. And, or if it's not a, you know, it doesn't have to be a kid that necessarily is a high profile kid. It could be just a kid who's in high school and he's on a travel ball team. And you still have to understand that the summer creates all sorts of variables. And if you are not completely clear on how to negotiate and navigate the summer, it single-handedly could be the reason that causes an arm problem and an arm injury, simply because the fall is built in usually with the high schools and colleges. The break between the fall and the spring is built in with the high school and colleges, and the spring, of course, is covered. And so it's sort of the summer 3 month period where, as you said, you know, kids are kind of on their own to figure this out. And if they don't have a plan and they don't have some insight into how to negotiate, or as we talk about navigate the summer, to me, that could be the single most vulnerable period of time for a player to put his arm in harm's way. And that's why that question is critical. And that's why the manual goes into gory detail. And so I just hope whoever's, you know, listening to this conversation can get the manual and really have it as a point of reference. And I guess, because I don't want it to seem like you have to buy the manual to get, you know, get something out of me. But I think the bottom line is that I think the single most important point I bring up in the manual is that if you, you know, number one, if you're playing through the spring and your season ends in June, if you're a, let's say as a pitcher, I tell players just to keep the ball rolling. Just stay, if you're in shape, stay in shape. As long as there's a showcase or a travel ball thing going on that's in the next month, just stay in shape. Just keep another month going, because the way that we build arms, I have zero concern about them going another month or two or whatever it is. But if you're going to shut down at the end of the season because that's the right thing to do and go into a rest period, the bottom line is this. If you take 1 week off and then want to go to a showcase, for every week you take off, you have to have 2 weeks of arm conditioning and arm training according to our off-season buildup. And that doesn't include maybe another week of bullpens. So the way I've set it up to me is I feel it's pretty foolproof. So if you take a week off, you need two weeks to train, because if you only took a week off, you're still in decent shape. So it's only going to take you 2 weeks to, quote unquote, re-catch the wave. And that might include even a pen or two if you're only going to throw an inning. If you take 2 weeks off, I add a week. Well, now you need 3 weeks. And that is at least 2 weeks of just conditioning, and maybe another week of conditioning and a couple pens to get you ready. And this, again, is all based on you only throwing maybe an inning or two. If you take 3 weeks off, guess what? Now you're at 4 weeks of training before you're allowed to go to any, even for one inning. You need 3 weeks off at any point. And this is all based on 3 weeks off right after your season ended, knowing you're in shape. And so now if you take 4 weeks off, well, now you're kind of back to our year-round manual program. Now you're kind of back to it's 5 weeks. Well, 5 weeks is sort of the minimum we have for your build-up period. So in a way, you can't mess it up, because no matter what time you take off, there's always going to be a built-in buffer so that you are rock solid as far from an arm prep point of view to go pitch into a showcase. Now, let's say you took 2 weeks off, and so you used 3 weeks to train and pitch an inning on that following Sunday. Well, if you have a showcase the following Sunday, well, now you just stay in your conditioning mode because you're there. And so see, Jeremy, all of a sudden now, in a way, you can't go wrong as long as you follow that plan. And I guess if that was the bottom line answer, we can at least give to the listeners, you know, without them, you know, necessarily having the manual in front of them. That's the best piece of advice I can give you, and that includes the fall. It doesn't matter. The reason the year-round manual to me I think is so valuable is it gives you these options and it gives you different angles to cover. Whether you're in the summer or this is happening in the fall, you are covered for the entire period that is sort of maybe being more on your own.
Hence, year-round throwing manual, right?
It's year-round.
That's it. There's a great part, and as I kind of went through it with you, there's a great part in the back, the addendum section, and I know I'm going to get you fired up, and I hope I do for everyone's sake, but you talk about rehab, and you talk about standing your ground, and when you really, I know we dove into this even last night, and you really start to understand the dynamics that are involved in a player that believing in a process and believing in his development and seeing the results and gains, and what that means when he enters a college program or enters a Major League Baseball program. Jump all over that. Jump into rehab and standing your ground, those topics.
Yeah, well, the addendum section, I figured, you know, I've covered the off season, I covered the in season, I covered the rest periods, I've covered, you know, the summer, and I thought to myself, okay, what are some of these other questions I'm going to get? And two areas that to me are just, you talk about in your core, in your heart and soul. The rehab is something that I would have never known better except from experience. And what happens is that the rehabilitation, the standard rehabilitation programs that are out there, and I have an article written about the origin of these rehabilitation programs. And that's just a side note on our article page. But I did a lot of research. And basically, you know, what I've learned is that the rehab program, which does a really good job post-surgery to and post-rehab, you know, as far as rehab and the, you know, at the clinic itself, once you get on the field, they'll build you slowly like our program, which is great. The concern I have is that they'll usually cap you at about 120, which is a standard rehab program. Some are more more liberal now. They might go up to 180. But then according to the rehab plan, they will start to, for pitchers at least, they'll start to integrate mound work, and even there again, they do that slowly to integrate the feeling of being off the mound. But my concern is, and I'm really hoping to get this addressed through some, you know, some people I've been speaking with that have a lot of yank as far as in the rehab world, is there's really a 3 to 4 week period, in my opinion, missed that when you get to 120 or 180, especially if you're a high school or college player. And you're used to throwing the ball, let's say 250 to 350, you still have to continue to build your distance. And I actually want that extra month of buffer time anyway to condition the arm. And as I said earlier, I'm big on stacking the base. So once the base is built, which the rehab program for me does a good job of that, well, now you got to stack it. You're not ready to get on a mound, in other words, until you get to what I consider to be your furthest throw. And so for a rehab guy that threw 300 feet before surgery, I'm not saying he's going to get to 300 feet for sure. Maybe it's 275. But sometimes after rehab, their arms are stronger, so maybe it's going to be 325. But whatever the number is, you have to have another window, and I consider it to be at least 4 weeks of the post-rehab throwing program, which ends at 120 to 180 or so. I want another month to build up the arm. Look, if this is going to be a 10-month cycle anyway, what's another month? To just do hardcore conditioning, endurance building, and recovery period, you know, benefits. So again, that rehab piece to me is so huge, and a lot. And I've gotten, believe me, I have gotten calls and emails and direct messages from people that are going through rehab, and they do the surgery, they do the rehab great, they do the rehab throwing great, but now they're starting to get on a mound. And by the way, any pitcher that gets on a mound, no matter what, even if he's told to throw at 50%, the message is that you're getting close to pitching. You know, there tends to be adrenaline when you get on a mound, and it's hard, mm-hmm. and it's hard to back players off at that point. So I just don't want them near a mound for another month. So that's the best advice I can give anybody going through rehab is when you get done with the quote unquote rehab throwing program, whether it's 120 or 180, whatever it is, just know, unless you're 8 or 9 year old, which maybe then you're done, just know you probably have at least another month of just arm conditioning at your own pace where you're building more volume, you're building more distance, you're building more endurance, and then you can slowly start to integrate the mound work the way that they maybe want you, you know, the way they would suggest you integrate the mound work. So the rehab to me, I have a whole article written about this, is a massive, massive piece to this whole arm health world.
All right, that's awesome. Now, standing your ground, because I know this is hit home for you in a lot of regards, but I think it's important. I think people need to know the dynamics that are involved around this, and again, just kind of trusting the player's process. Go into that a little bit.
Well, for me, I mean, this may be, you know, other than the manual itself, you know, the year-round part of it, this may be the single most important thing, and it probably is. It's the single most important piece of advice I can give to a player, a parent, a coach, an advisor, anybody, a sister, an aunt, about really the arm growing as a person, as a player. And that is, standing your ground simply means whatever program you came up with, whether it's you've learned about long toss, or you've done Ron Wolfer's program, or Kyle Bodie, or you spent time with Eric Cressy, or this nutritionist, or this core program, whatever you have done to get to where you've got to, that has allowed you to really excel, and you know it because you know your body better than anybody you'll ever meet the rest of your life.
Right.
Whatever you did to be that kid that got the college scholarship, or was drafted, in the third round, or, you know, whatever it was, or just got you to a point where you were excelling, then I'm not saying don't listen to what other people have to offer, because I think it's great to have an open mind. But if you are clear about what has made you extremely successful, and by the way, extremely healthy, wherever you go, your arm goes with you. So if you meet somebody new, it's not to say don't listen to what they may suggest to help you get better. But standing your ground means to not deviate and to not compromise with someone that doesn't know your arm and doesn't know your throwing program. And let's just talk right now about throwing program, because that's obviously the topic, and arm care stuff, band work. Whatever things you have done to address your arm to where you feel like your arm has got to become a beast, and you are, it is electric, and it is happy, and it has great recovery period, and it wants to throw all the time, you have to stand your ground, meaning whether it's a college program or professional baseball. You have to educate them. You have to let them know where you're at. Because if you compromise because you don't want to get in trouble, or you don't want to ruffle someone's feathers, and you break down because of it, that's a sad day. It's a bad day, because you will always know your arm and how your arm was prepared better than anybody you meet. And if someone offers you something that helps you prepare better and it feels good, do it. If someone says, hey, let's try this and it feels good, do it. But I've had many, many cases of players that we won't go into detail, but it has absolutely crushed me that I felt like, especially the kids in our pro camp where I had them for 8 weeks, and I knew exactly who they were when they left me. And for them to go into professional baseball and have an organization, and this could be the same with college, it doesn't matter, but to go somewhere, and I'm not saying every organization does this, because, you know, right now, luckily, only a small percentage of them do compared to 10 years ago. But at the end of the day, if you don't stand your ground and do what you know you need to do to maintain the health and strength of your arm, then you're asking yourself for trouble, because no one's going to ever know your arm as well as you. And that's the bottom line message, is wherever you go and whatever you've done to get to where you've got to, don't deviate. Don't let someone the word that really bugs me is impose. Don't have someone impose a structured program that is like a cookie cutter program that's a one size fits all, because they think that's the best program for you and they don't know the first thing about you. The average coach and the average professional organization or college coaches, high school coaches, they need to adapt to you for the most part, unless you have no clue what you're doing.
I love it. I think the key for, if I'm a listener, but if you're on social media, you got to follow Alan at Jaeger Sports, J-A-E-G-E-R Sports, and you've got to listen to his messages, the tweets, the articles, all the information that comes out is just quality, beyond quality information. And Alan, if we could wrap up, because I knew we'd hit our time, I didn't have any reservations about that. But if you had to surmise this entire conversation, man, you know, especially about staying healthy and arm health and all those things, what are kind of your final thoughts? What are kind of your closing remarks on this?
Yeah, well, first of all, man, it's just been such an honor and a treat to do this, and I so appreciate your level of interest, man, and ABCA. Again, they're an inspiring place right now. I know that you guys are just you're really committed to education and you're really committed to making a difference. So I just appreciate this. And one quick thing, I just want to just address one thing I said about, you know, that you don't have a clue. That sounded a bit harsh. I just mean if the kid is uneducated and, you know, if the player is uneducated, you know, or the coach is but you know what I meant. I just meant they didn't have a clue.
Sure.
I just meant they weren't educated. Wrapping it up, man, I think it's pretty simple. I think number one, the arm is this living, breathing organism that is ready and willing to do magical things if we just invest into it and feed it, as I like to say. Number two, always know that at the end of the day, there's no such thing as a throwing program as much as it's about listening to your arm. And the irony is the better you listen to your arm, the more you're going to probably find out it wants to do. And number three is just know that at the end of the day, once you have devised your plan or once you've gone to school and got to a position where your arm is thriving and you just love what your arm is about and you've done your homework and you've done the training, wherever you go, your arm goes with you. And make sure that you always adhere to your arm's needs first rather than be put in a position where someone's going to impose something on you that not only doesn't agree with what you've done, but is maybe the polar opposite of what you believe you should be doing. And that's why that stand your ground. I'm glad that was the last question in a way, because other than building up your arm the right way and taking care of it, I think the next most important thing about what we teach is once you get it and once you become an animal, you got to protect it. And the way to protect it is you've got to stand your ground and not let somebody else tell you what to do with your arm and your career when you know best.
Great stuff. Awesome stuff. Well, Alan, we sincerely, on behalf of the ABCA, appreciate you being our inaugural guest on Calls from the Clubhouse. This has been an awesome show, man. We really appreciate your information and all you're doing for the game and obviously being a loyal ABCA member. Thanks for being on, man. We appreciate your time all the way from Santa Monica.
Well, once again, thank you for having me, Jeremy, and just really appreciate what you guys are doing. And it's just such an honor to be doing this. And what can I say except thanks, man?
Absolutely. Well, have a great day. And we look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right. Thanks again, Jeremy.